Morning, everyone.
Good morning, Pastor.
I've been looking forward to this morning for a long time. It's always good to be with family. I mean, you know, we're one family, but many locations. And so we're all in this together, getting this job done until Jesus comes. How many appreciate your pastors?
Amen.
I do. I get blessed every time I hear Pastor Mike speak. What a true pastor. Just the love of God flows through him. And it's an honor and privilege to call you son and to be hooked up with you. I'm going to tell off on your pastor this morning. That's what I've come. He drove all night to be in church with you this morning. He has not slept 1 minute. Well, you might have slept in the car, but he drove all night, got into town at 4 o'clock in the morning, walked the dogs, and got ready for church. You know, sometimes people are up late playing video games and maybe didn't get an hour short of sleep and they don't come to church. And so God rewards those that diligently seek him. And, you know, every step you take towards God, God will take a step towards you. So if you want more of God, show him. Give him some effort. Give him something to work with. And no doubt the Lord has worked greatly through Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney. And it's, again, good to see all of you. And also, if you are visiting here for the first time, let me put this disclaimer. Do not judge this church by anything I say. I am not the pastor of this church. Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney are the pastors of the church. They're better speakers, better looking. They got it all together, and is, you know, I'm trying to get it together. And so don't judge this church. So please, please, please come next week. Hear your pastor, and you will be blessed. Hey, do you have your Bibles this morning? I want to invite you to open them, probably to a passage of Scripture you probably never heard before, but I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 11. That's probably where your Bible's all stuck together because you don't read it. You know, it's sort of like the minor prophets in the Old Testament, like in the Song of Solomon, those type of books. But we're going to share some things that I believe will help you. If not, I'll just preach myself and it'll help me, and I'll let you listen in on it. And so, I just saw it in my heart, searched my heart what to share with you. And my goal is to help you. My goal is not for you to be impressed with my preaching. My goal is not for you to say, man, that was a good sermon or that was a good service. My goal is to give you something that you can apply in your life. It will help you and turn your life around to get more of God into your life, into your situation. And that's what I want. That's what God wants. Like Pastor said, God is not trying to get something away from you. He's trying to get something into you. And so God wants to help you this morning. And so I trust by your hunger, your desire, your supply, and my gift in the Holy Ghost that we'll have a divine connection here this morning, and we'll all be blessed. So if you have your Bibles in Mark 11, and let's go ahead and start with verse 20. And in the morning, as they, Jesus and disciples, passed by, they, meaning disciples, saw the fig tree that dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, and said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole account. But if you're familiar with this chapter, this is where Jesus went up to a fig tree. He saw leaves, was looking for figs. There was no figs on the tree, and he cursed the tree. He spoke something to the tree, and he said, no man eat fruit from you from now on. And the disciples heard it, thought that was interesting. They went into town. They had a very interesting service in Jerusalem. And on the way back the next day, here, Peter notices, you know, along the road, he says, you know, something very interesting happened the other day. Jesus probably was getting a little lightheaded. Maybe the sun was beaten down, or maybe low sugar levels, and he got really mad at a tree and cursed it. And that was just about here. And Peter was amazed and said, Lord, look what you did. That fig tree, which you cursed, you said something to that fig tree, and it happened. And so this is what we're reading about, and we want to look at the response of Jesus in verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God," or have the faith of God. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." And so here Jesus explains what happened with the fig tree, not only to Peter, but to all of us. And Jesus responds to them to have faith in God. Now, if Jesus only were to say that, there'd be a great division in the body of Christ. Many would say, you know, Jesus was just talking to the disciples, and this is something only disciples can do. And other people believe, no, Jesus was talking to us. And if Jesus just would have said, have faith in God or have the faith of God, you know, not one of us would be sure who he's talking to, who this was meant for. But Jesus goes on and explains what he means about having the faith of God or faith in God. And he says, "For verily I say unto you." And so he's going to address all of us, that whosoever. And so what he's about to say is for everyone. Whosoever. You're a whosoever, I'm a whosoever. Wouldn't you like to be a whosoever too? Now, if you're over 40, you know what that's a reference to. If you're under 40, ask someone that's older. That's an old Dr. Pepper commercial. But he said, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." So Jesus here explains, you know, what I did with the fig tree, it was through the operation of faith in God. And Peter was amazed of what Jesus did. Peter turned around and says, "You can do this too." And not only did he say it to Peter, but he said to each and every one of us that whosoever. And he goes on and says, whosoever can have whatsoever he says. So anybody can operate in this thing that Jesus is calling the faith of God and see things change. Then he goes on verse 24 and he says this, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." So this faith of God works two ways. It works by saying something, and it works by praying something. And Jesus said this, it'll work for anybody. It'll work for anybody that will work it. And I always like to bring out this word. I'm reading on the King James Bible, where Jesus said in verse 23, "For verily I say unto you." Now, the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. And for the longest time, for years, whenever I heard Jesus use the word verily or truly, I thought that was just a spicy way of an introduction to a subject. You know, that he would just, you know, I was an old-time Pentecostal ism when I first got saved, and they all spoke King James. They prophesied in King James. And you know, it wasn't God speaking unless someone said, "Truly, truly, verily, verily." So I thought it was just a bunch of smoke in the King James language trying to get people's attention, like, "Howdy," or "Come over here," and it drew people's attention, then you're about to say something. But it's very interesting, this word "verily" in the Greek, the New Testament's written in Greek. It isn't a salutation. It isn't something to introduce something. It is a powerful statement of fact in itself. That word "verily" in the Greek is the word "amen." Now, we're familiar with that word "amen." We use it all the time when pastor prays a prayer that when we're in agreement with it, we say "amen" or "so be it." But what is very interesting, the word "amen" is used two ways. Number one, it is used by man after a prayer and a or a proclamation, and it means "so be it," that we're in agreement, let that be done unto us. But also the Greek word here, "amen," is also used by God. Now when God uses the word "amen," it's not at an end of a proclamation, prayer, or statement, it's at the beginning of a proclamation. And when God uses it at the beginning of something he's about to say, it is a guarantee. It is equivalent to what we say, "I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God." Of course, God, you know, there's nothing greater than God that God can swear by. But what God is saying is this, that I amen this unto you. I guarantee this truth. And so this is not just some filler in the Bible. This is something Jesus, the Son of God, guarantees will work. We know we buy an appliance. Many times when you buy something new or a vehicle, it comes with a guarantee or a warranty. The manufacturer backs their product. It says, hey, we guarantee our product will work. If it don't work, we'll fix it for you. We'll replace it for you. Well, here God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, is giving us a guarantee. What I did to that fig tree, whosoever can do it, I guarantee that if you will work the word, if you will do this, it will work for you. I guarantee it. The God's Word translation actually translated it that way. I guarantee whosoever shall say. So we can say something, and I know your pastor teaches along that line. You've heard good teaching, and it's so important that you learn to speak right. Instead of talking about the problems, you speak to the problem. You tell that problem what to do. Jesus likens it to a mountain. If you'll say unto the mountain, that mountain represents anything that stands between you and victory. It may be a sickness, it may be a financial need, it may be a family situation. If you will work the word and speak right, you speak that mountain, you tell that mountain what to do. Jesus said, I guarantee it will work. You will have what you say. And so, you know, that tells us that we ought to be very careful what we're saying. You know, a lot of people are saying one thing and expecting something else. You know, they're saying about the problem. They're saying about their sickness. They're saying about their situation. Oh my, this is really rough. This is really tough. Why do these things always happen to me? Well, Jesus didn't tell you to speak about the mountain. He told you to speak to the mountain. Tell the mountain what to do. And I know you're taught along that line. And we're not necessarily going to be looking at this morning, but I just want to establish this truth, especially if you're newer with us. And but also very interesting, in verse 24, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Notice the word therefore. Now I went to Bible school and I took Bible interpretation. And the rule of Bible interpretation, whenever you see a wherefore or therefore, you got to find out what's therefore. What Jesus is saying when he said in verse 24, therefore, he says, because of what I said in verse 23, now verse 24 will work. What was Jesus saying? If you learn to speak right, your prayers will work. And see, a lot of times what people do is they pray one way and speak another. And Jesus said it won't work for you. He can't guarantee that. And I know that I've been in ministry for over 30 years. I know looking at me, you know I started when I was 7, if you did the math. But I've seen this over hundreds, if not 1,000 times. Pastor, come pray with me. I need this financial miracle. I need this healing in my body. I need this family situation turned around. And they come to me. And of course, I pray in faith. I believe God and nothing happens. And why does nothing happen? It's because their saying does not agree with what we've just prayed. You know, your saying can discredit your prayers. You have to say the same thing you're praying. If you come up to pastor and pray for healing, you got to speak the word over your body no matter what it feels like. Just by his stripes, I'm healed. Pastor laid hands on me. Healing power is working in my body. You can't say, you know, it just seems like every time I get prayed for, it gets worse. And that's why things don't work. And the reason I'm bringing this up is Jesus guarantees that if you will speak faith, if you will pray in faith, it always works. Say always. It always works. Jesus guarantees it. Now that brings us to this. What happens if it doesn't work for me? Did Jesus lie? No, you go back. Verily I say unto you, Jesus guarantees it will work. And if it's not working, that means there may be some adjustments that I have to do on my end. You know, because it will always work if I work it right. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is working it right, working it correctly. adjusting and maybe correcting some things, because Jesus said it worked. And yet I've seen in so many circles where it doesn't work when they're taught. I'm talking about people in my congregation. I know Pastor Mike's a better teacher than I am, and he has a higher rate of success than I do. But I've seen some dear people been in my church for years and years and years. And man, I teach them about the power of words. I have series. You shall have what you say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I hit it hard. I go weeks and hit it. I talk about the prayer of faith. Believe you receive it. Not when you see it, but when you pray, you believe. And you'll stand in faith. It will come to pass. Jesus guarantees it. And so I preach that. I preach that. And I have dear, precious people that I've taught that when I talk with them, I speak with them, man, it seems like they have their confession right. By His stripes I'm healed. My God shall supply us all my needs according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm the head, not tail. I'm above, not beneath. You know, and those are good confessions. Those are lying with the Word. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. You speak what you want, and Jesus said you'll have what you say. And, you know, and others said, you know, Pastor, you laid hands on me. I believe I'll receive. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. I believe I receive. And that's great and wonderful. It sounds good. And you're just watching it for it to show up. It's going to show up anytime. And you watch. And they're still saying the same thing. You watch. And 3 years later, you're still watching. And nothing still has happened. They're saying the same thing, doing the same thing. And it sounds and looks like faith, but nothing is happening. Now, what I'm doing is just sharing some things that happened in my congregation. Not here. But maybe you might know someone that prayed and nothing happened. That confessed something and didn't happen. And when you find them, then you can tell them about this service. Because I already know you got it down. Every time you pray, it happens. Every time you speak the word, it happens. But this is for you to help someone else. So Jesus says, I guarantee it works. They've been working it for 3-4 years and hasn't worked. Houston, we got a problem. Is a problem on God's end?
No.
Never. So, you know, I saw this again and again. And again and again and again and again. And I began to seek the Lord and set time to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what is it? I know it works. I've worked it. I've worked Mark 11:23. I've gotten what I said. I've worked Mark 11:24. It works. Every time it works. And when it didn't work, you helped me of what I need to change. And when I made that change, it worked. I hate to say it this way, like magic. Lord, you said, you guaranteed it worked, and it works. But Father, all these precious people that I'm trying to help, it seems like they're saying the right thing. It seems like they're confessing the right thing. They're standing in faith, and it looks right from the outside that they're right on, but it doesn't show up. And I know if it doesn't show up, that means something is wrong, because you said it will always work. So I begin to pray. And I found this out when it comes to seeking God. And sometimes it takes weeks just waiting on Him, asking Him, talking to Him about that. You know, I get a little concerned when people hear from God like a drive-through. You know, they just instantly get things. You know, that didn't work for Brother Hagin. Jesus would spend all night in prayer to get direction for the next day. And Jesus spent all night in prayer. Who are these people that just instantly get answers like that? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not casually, not, hey God, drive through, I need an answer. Give it to me now. I only got 5 minutes. Give it to me. I got to go somewhere. No. God, I found this about God. You just wait on Him. Wait on Him. You know, I went on with the regular affairs of life, but every time I think about it, I said, Lord, what about that? Your word worked, but why isn't it working for these people? I want to help them concerning faith. And so after several weeks, and then I had a time where I, you know, can kneel down and pray and seek the Lord. And just, this has been heavy on my heart. And I said, Lord, You said it worked, but it's not working for them. And the Lord spoke this to me. When I mean the Lord spoke to me, He spoke to me in that still, small voice. And whenever God speaks to me, it's always in line with the Word. And the Holy Ghost said this to me. He said, your answer is right in Mark 11, 22 through 24. And so I read it. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say. And I read it through and I said, Lord, you got to help me. I know it's there. That's what I'm asking. You said it worked and not working for him. And so he said, no, your answer is right in those verses. And so I asked again, and so, Lord, show it to me. I just don't know. And he said this, the reason why verse 23 and verse 24 is not working for them is because they don't have verse 22 in place. Have faith in God. You know, you need to have something before you use something. And what happens in our circles, faith circles, we're taught confession. We're taught believe what we receive. We know what to say. We know how to act. But a lot of times we're shooting blanks at it. You know what shooting blanks are? You know, if you have a gun, we have some gun shop owners here, and we have a pastor that likes guns and so forth. You know, a gun is a gun. It's real. You know, if you put a bullet in a gun, and there is, excuse me if you're anti-hunting, there is a deer right there. And we'll use your pastor, because your pastor doesn't miss. And your pastor puts a bullet and pulls the trigger. That deer goes down. It'll work every time. That gun works every time if you work the mechanics of it. But what we do a lot of time, when we have a mountain, whether it's sickness, whether it's financial, we go like this, bam, 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 bam. Come on, help me, and get prayer chains and help me get that thing down. Why didn't it go down? You shot a blank. You have to have a bullet in it. And see, in verse 22, Jesus said, have it first. Have it. Before you say something, have faith. Before you pray something, have faith. And what we get away from, you know, we looked at the mechanics because it was such newness of revelation, the importance of words, the importance of believing and receive. But the key element all through this is faith. Jesus said, have faith. Now notice, now we read verse 23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into sea. And notice this, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe. So what Jesus was saying, yes, words work if you believe or have faith in what you say. And verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. What is the key ingredient in your praying and in your saying? Believing or faith. And what we do a lot of times is we say things that we don't believe. We pray things without faith, and we're wondering why it doesn't work when Jesus says it does work. So I want to talk to you about having faith. Have faith. Saying works. It works all the time. Praying works when you believe you receive it. Jesus guarantees you will have whatsoever things you desire. You will have what you prayed if you believe it. But the key thing is we must have something before we use something. You know, faith is, we could say it this way, faith is the currency of heaven. That all through the Bible, you read whenever anyone had need from Jesus, Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? Jesus said, according to your what? Faith be it unto you. And so when they brought faith to the table, they got the goods and services of Jesus. Jesus always asked for payment for his power. Do you believe? Even the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made thee whole. And so we understand that being a current monetary system, that faith provides goods and services. I know we're out in South Dayton, but in Fredonia, we really only have one store that everyone goes to. It's called Walmart. You know, Walmart has everything. I mean, man, in a small town, looky Walmart. And you know, you can go into Walmart, and you see it all the time. People come in with shopping carts. They go in empty, and they go out of Walmart, and their carts are full of stuff. And man, you look at that, wow, I want to do that too. And so, wow, look, he's got this, he's got that. I'm going to go in there, bless God. If he can do it, I can do it too. And you grab a cart, and you go in, and you grab all the same stuff, and you go through the cashier and says, and they want something. Come on. Yeah. It says, no, they got it, therefore you got to give it to me too. It don't work that way. They need something from you. What? Moolah. You can have everything in Walmart if the price is right. If you have something, what do you have to have? You have to have money. And see, a lot of times we see this one healed, this one prospering. Man, and we kind of mimic what they did, the shopping cart. That we mimic what they say. We parrot what they say, what they pray, and we don't come out with the stuff. Then we say it don't work. No, it works. Going to Walmart always works. I guarantee you, every day, you can, and I've done it, I've gone to Walmart one time, five times in one day. When you have little kids, that happens. Thank God I'm over that. You know, diapers, milk. I need some for lunch. I need some for school. I went to Walmart five times in one day. And you know, it always works. I go in, whatsoever things I desire, I put in my cart, I go to the cashier, and I give them moolah. I come out with what I desire. That's exactly what God is saying here. He says it will always work. Five times a day, seven times a day, 10 times a day. As long as you have faith, you can have all the goods and services of heaven. And so we want to look at, again, having faith. And so turn with me to the book of Romans. So if we want our words to work, Romans chapter 12, if we want our words to work, if we want our prayers to work, we got to have faith. And so we're looking at having faith. And the good news is that all of you, if you are born again, already have some faith. Now in Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, it says this, "For I say it through the grace of God given to you, to every man among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, what does that mean? That when you got born again, God gave you an allowance. You know what an allowance is? I have three daughters. Years ago, I used to give them allowance. That means every week, they got the same thing every week, just their allowance. You know, you got allowance from God when you got born again. God gave each and every one of you an allowance of faith. There is nobody in the body of Christ when they're born again that have a greater measure than you did. We all were given the same measure of faith. We read great stories like Kenneth Hagin and Smith Wigglesworth, Pastor Mike, you know, all these heroes of faith. Then we see, man, look at their faith, great faith. You know that they all started with the same measure you did when you were born again? And so a lot of times people say, man, if I could just have faith, I could say. If I just had faith, I could pray. But man, I got to go get someone that has faith. No, you have faith. When you're born again, God gave you the same measure He gave everyone else to start with. That is your allowance. And when God gives something, He's big in nature. You know, when God wants to grow an oak tree, He always starts it out as a seed. And so the faith that you're given when you're born again is in seed form. And every seed needs to be nourished in order for it to grow. In 2 Thessalonians 1, I think 3, it says, "Your faith groweth exceedingly." You can cause your faith to grow exceedingly. Just like any seed. I can give you all a seed here this morning. Gave you the exact same seed. And you all can do different things with it. You can sit there and be enamored and just put it on the shelf and say, look at that. Pastor Michael gave me a seed. Isn't that a wonderful seed, everyone? Look at the seed. Put it on Facebook, Snapchat. I don't even know if they're Snapchat anymore. You know, Instagram, you know, whatever, those modern things. Put it on YouTube and so forth. Look at this wonderful seed. And it'll never work for you. You'll never yield what that seed will do unless you do what? You plant it. You water it and allow it to grow. The sad thing is people have been saved for 20 years and their faith is still in seed form. And they say, well, thank God I'm going to heaven when I die. Thank God you are. But God wants your faith to grow. He wants your faith to do something. He wants it when you speak, something happens. When you pray, something happens. Well, how do you do that? Your faith has got to grow. And so let's talk about how to grow that measure of faith that you have. You're in the book of Romans. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 10. And again, this isn't anything new, but just a reminder of some things you know. And it's very basic, but sometimes people miss the very basic things. Seeds grow if you'll grow them, if you'll nurture them, if you'll water them, if you'll maintain them. You will always get a crop of a seed if you'll do the work. Same thing with your faith. If you'll do the work, you can have faith for anything you need. If you will simply maintain your faith. And so, Romans chapter 10, in verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bible here tells you how to get faith to come to you. We need faith for good services of heaven. We're given a measure. How does faith grow? How do we get more faith? How many know you can have a measure of money, but you can have more money? More, better, the more you can obtain. Same thing, more faith, the more you can obtain. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you feed on the word of God, the more of a capacity of faith you'll have. What feeding on the Word of God is, hearing the Word of God, it is watering the seed. Watering the seed. You know, I grew up on a farm. As a kid, we all have gardens. And we would always plant our favorite things. I like sweet peas. I like beans and watermelon, stuff like that. We all planted our garden. But, you know, we just didn't plant it and just expect it to grow. Every day we had to water our garden. And you know what's something very interesting? That even though we didn't plant it, weeds grew. And so if we wanted our you know, cucumbers, whatever, to grow, not only did we have to water it, we had to pluck out. We had to keep certain things away from our garden in order for it to grow. There was some maintenance involved. The seed had power in itself to produce. But we had to work with it. We had to nourish it. You know, your faith will do amazing things. Jesus said, if you'll just have faith of mustard seed, you'd say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Just a little bit of faith can do wonders, but you still got to maintain it. Faith comes by hearing. F.F. Bosworth wrote the great book, Christ the Healer. If you don't have it, get it. It's a great book on healing. It is a classic. If you need to be healed, feed on that. It's very, very simple, but very, very true. The steps of taking your healing by faith. And he said this. He said this, that Christians eat 3 hot meals a day, but yet feed their spirits 1 cold snack a week and wonder why they're weak in faith. You know, what you feed will grow. And see, we want to move mountains with our faith. But we don't take time to feed, grow, and nourish our faith. And let's use that same illustration of money. Let's just say you had to get a big object. Let's just say you need a rider mower, which, you know, $2,000 or $3,000. You know, it's going to cost more for a rider mower than it does for a carton of milk. And you're used to going in and out of Walmart for a carton of milk. But man, with that mower, you cannot just give the same amount of money for that rider mower. What you may have to do is say, you know what, I need a rider mower. I need to save up. I need to store. I need to really, you know, get some time, gather up my money in order to go into Walmart and get that rider mower. We don't understand this. It's easy. But what Christians do, every week, you know, they're used to their faith level being like a gallon of milk. And all of a sudden, they get a bad report from the doctor, or they have this horrible family situation, and they're still trying to buy, so to speak, something big with a small measure of faith. If you'll just look at faith like money, then you'll understand. Jesus, you know, you go to Walmart, you can have anything in Walmart if you have the money for it. God said, that mountain, it'll move. Your prayers will be answered if the price is right. But a lot of times, well, I don't have any money, and we're always looking to borrow pastors. Jesus said, you have faith in God. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, not pastor, when you do it. Yeah, you can have it if the price is right. And it isn't going to cost you anything except time. You all have a measure, and you can grow that measure by hearing and hearing the Word of God. The more you hear the Word of God, the more your faith can grow. Now, let me help you with this. Turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 1. You know, when we say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, we can all have our own idea what that means. You can say, well, Pastor, you know, man, I was tired this morning. And I almost was tempted not to come to church. I came to church. I'm hearing the Word of God. Hence, I am a faith giant. When Pastor Mike preaches, yes, with me, I don't know. But, you know, and that's what people think about hearing. Yeah, I come to church once a week. Remember the words of F.F. Bosworth. People feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day in order to be strong, to carry out things, carry out functions, to work. And yet they feed their spirits 1 cold snack a week, church Sunday morning, and they're wondering why they're weak in faith. What if you only fed your bodies to the amount you fed your spirits? I was thinking about writing a book for the brand new diet. I'm going to call it the Family Church Diet. You're not allowed to eat physically unless you ate spiritually. You know, how many know we'd just kind of slim right up, wouldn't we? But let's just think about it. A lot of us work in physical activities. What if you only ate a couple of crackers once a week? You're going to get weak. And if you keep it up, you're going to be sickly, and eventually you'll die. And, you know, folks, I wonder what's wrong with him. You know, the answer is simple. He's not feeding himself. And a lot of times, spiritually, I wonder why it don't work for me. I pray, I confess, I got a prayer chain going. Everyone's praying for me, it doesn't work. The answer is simple. You're not feeding your faith. Now, Josh, the Lord here tells Joshua what he means about feeding your faith. In verse 8, this book of the law, meaning the Bible, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to what is written therein. For then you shall make your way successful, and then you shall have good success. We want to make our way prosperous. We want to have good success. We want the result without the cause. We want to pray and things happen. We want to say and things happen. But there's a price to be paid. What is the price? Feeding your faith. And notice what God tells Joshua. He said, this book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate once a week, Sunday morning, for about an hour when pastor preaches. You shall meditate when? Day and night. You know, when you say that, people get in shock and fear. You mean I got to be in the Word day and night for it to work? Yeah. Yeah. If you want it to work, yeah. If you want your words to speak to the mountains and to change, when you speak to sickness, it goes away. When you pray, things happen, yeah. Well, no one has that type of time. You liar. You do this all the time with something else. You do this all the time with your bodies. You get up. First thing you do, I'm sure some of you just jump up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. No, the first thing you did is, where's that caffeine? Where's that caffeine? Why? Your body needs a little help. Then, of course, once you have your cup of coffee, you know, you start getting hungry. Where's that bagel? Where's that muffin? Where's those eggs? The first thing you do is you feed your body. And we'll just take the typical person that goes to work. Then you go to work. Then they have a break time between the time you start until lunchtime. You have a break time. And what do you do on your break time? Man, I need a Snickers. I need some crackers. My blood sugar is low. Man, I need to get something in me. What? Just to hold me up until lunchtime. Then when lunchtime is on, man, you know, you have a sandwich. Oh, I got some leftover chicken. Yeah, I'm getting guys hungry, aren't I? You're going to want those subs after we're done here. I mean, you fed your body. Why? Because without food, you're going to be weak. You're not going to be able to carry out the function of work. And if you think, you know, you think that'd be enough for the day. But, you know, then it gets about 3 o'clock. There's another break. And what do? Man, just something to hold me out. Hold me over until dinner time. And then you get home. Where's my supper? Where's the food? What? Why are you eating all the time? Your body needs it. And if you don't feed it, it's not going to grow. You're not going to have energy. You're not going to have strength. You're not going to have stamina to do what you need to do. And you think you ought to be done at 6 o'clock or whenever you eat. But, you know, 8 o'clock comes around. Man, I just got a hankering of a little something. What's in that fridge? What's in that fridge? You know, you just ate day all day and night. That's bondage, isn't it? Man, that's bondage. That's being unrealistic. Man, these bodies are bondage. You know, every time we put something in our mouth, man, we enjoy it. A cup of coffee and that bagel in the morning. Man, that lunch, whatever. What are we going to have for dinner? Meatloaf. Oh, I love meatloaf. It's not bondage. It's a delight. We actually do it all day. And we're not posting, man, what a bummer. This is bondage. I have to feed my body. Bondage. Oh, it's so unrealistic having to feed my body. No, we look forward to it. We delight in it. And we do it all the day. And it does not interfere with our day. What if you did the same thing with the Word of God? You don't even need to take time at work. Every time you put something in your little mouth, you put something in your little heart, you do a little 3x5, you read something, you meditate on something, and you say, man, that is good, by his stripes I'm healed. And you get that little Snickers, by stripes I'm healed. You know, all day. Then when you're in bed, before going to bed, just a few moments, meditate. You're feeding your spirit. You qualify for this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to smile. If I were to ask a show of hands, how many of you do this? No. But if I were to ask the hand, how many of you eat day and night? All of us. Yeah. It shows. It shows what you've been eating. Some of us eating the good of the land. Yeah. You know, it shows spiritually what you've been eating. Jesus said it works if you work it. I double dog dare you. Double dog dare you. That every time you put something in your mouth, put something in your spirit man. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You know, my time is getting away from me. I am fixing to close. Now, if you've ever heard me say that before, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Turn with me to Proverbs 4. You notice God told Joshua, if you'll feed your spirit, faith will come that way. Then he said, then, if you'll do this, then thou shalt make thy way successful. Then you'll be prosperous and have good success. Notice, if you'll put the word in proper, if you'll feed your spirit, it shows up in prosperity. You know, a lot of people want prosperity, but they're not paying the price for it. Well, I give. But what place does the Word of God have in your life? Are you feeding on the Word? Are you feeding on prosperity scriptures? Again, a lot of times people put money in offering, they say things, they're shooting blanks. Because they're not saying in faith. Well, how do you say in faith? You've got to measure faith, you grow your faith by hearing. Feeding on the Word of God. Feeding. Anything you desire, you can have if the price is right. Amen. And you don't need to change a thing. Just feed your spirit when you're feeding your body. Something that is very important to all of us. And can you see it's not bondage? Eating's not bondage. We love it. If you'll just feed your spirit when you're eating, you'll be a spiritual giant. Now notice this. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. God tells Joshua, if you will feed your spirit, you'll have faith, that will make you successful. You'll be prosperous. But here, we see by the wisdom of Solomon, by the Holy Ghost, if you'll feed on the Word of God, it'll show up in your body. It will be life and health to all your flesh. You're going to love me after the statement. That's why when pastor prays, many people aren't healed. Because they're shooting blanks. Because you receive by faith, they don't have faith for healing. Why? They're not feeding on healing scriptures like this. Notice, you know, if you will do this, you only need to have pastor lay hands. Now, thank God you can lay hands on pastor when you're a baby Christian. If you need help, his faith can help you. But that is not God's highest and best. God's highest and best is, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Again, it's not bondage. You do it with food all the time. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to them that find them. Health. They'll show up as health. The Word of God will be health. I don't know about you, but I like living long, healthy, and strong. Amen. How do you become? Well, do I just say it? Not only do I say it, but I got to feed on it. I got to feed on God's Word. Your success in life has to do more with your personal devotion to the Word of God than anything else. What you're doing with the Word. And what you're doing in the Word shows up in your life. You know, many people, the Bible says this, God is not mocked, Galatians chapter 6. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And, you know, we understand about giving and so forth, but that's about anything. The quality of your life and what you're doing in your personal life will show up in your public life. Whatever you're sowing, it will eventually show up if you're in the Word all the time. If you're speaking the right words, if you're living for God, you're doing your utmost, it will show up in your life. God says, I'm not mocked. What's that mean? You can't point the finger at God. God, you're unjust. Why has this happened to me? Whatsoever man soweth, that he reaps. And the problem is, we want to keep doing the same thing over and over again and just pray for things to change. That's insanity. Insanity. All right. Let me help you. This is South Dayton, a farming community, right? We all understand. Here's a plot of ground. What if I got this brand new plot of ground, had it toiled, you know, had the soil worked up, and I say, oh God, send me corn. Send me peas. peas. Oh, Lord. And if you really like me, some beans and cucumbers too. And I post on Facebook, you all believe with me for a crop? You all believe? Let's all fast. Let's all fast together for a crop. And do a Jericho march and say, I call peas, I call beans, I believe I receive a crop, I believe I receive a crop, I believe I receive a crop. And it's 3 years and nothing showed up yet. And you say, it don't work, farming don't work. All the neighbor farmers would look at him and says, we better go call the paddy wagon. They got to take him away. That is insanity. Don't he know? Saved or unsaved, you're going to reap what you sow. In order to get corn, you've got to plant corn. In order to get peas, you've got to plant peas. We understand that piece of ground. But yet Christians, they just think that prayer is a trump card. Oh, I just need to pray. Jesus didn't say you'll have what you pray. Never did. You got to believe it. And the only way you can believe something has faith in your heart. How do you get faith in your heart? By the Word. Have planting the Word. If you want peas, you got to plant. If you want health in your body, what you been feeding on? Well, I watch Fox News for 3 hours, and I'll get the newspaper, and you know I pick up the magazines, and you know just before bed I read a proverb. You're wanting to buy a lawnmower for the price of chewing gum. Have faith in God. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you feed your faith, the more you'll grow your faith, the more you can use your faith. Anything you want, you can have if the price is right. Feed your spirit. If you need healing, find healing scriptures. Get 3x5 cards. Or if you're a gadget guy, put them down. And every time you eat, look at them. Feed them. Say them to yourself. Meditate upon. You know what meditation is? Thinking over and over, speaking it to yourself, seeing yourself. And day and night. Day and night. How long do you do it? I am fixing to close part 2. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. See, if this don't help you, it's helping me. It always works. Saying works. Praying works with faith. That's what we bring to the table. And faith is really easy. Every time you eat, you can develop your faith by getting in the Word. And so we're closing with this. Again, the devotion to the Word. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, meaning the Bible, whereunto you do well, you take heed, and make sure you just go to church once Sunday, maybe twice a week, and you'll be all right. No, you take heed as unto a light that shines in dark place. Have you ever been in a dark place? When you're sick, it's a dark place. When there's lack in your life, when there's defeat, when there's ugly family situations, that's a dark place. I've been through all of them. And so what it's saying, you take heed to the Word whenever you're in a dark place. How long do you take heed to the Word? Until the day dawn, till the day star rise in your heart. You keep it before your eyes. Before your eyes. Before your eyes. You ever read the Bible, didn't make sense to you? It says, I know it's on a piece of paper, but it's not in here. It says, you just keep heed. You got to turn the TV off, turn the media off. Man, I got a big purchase. I got to get healing. This is incurable. I got a big debt. It's incurable. I don't have time for everything else. And you keep heed. Keep heed in the Word in a dark place until something happens. The day dawn. And day star rises in your heart. I just thought the day star was the sun. No, it's the star Venus. It's called the morning star. And in old times, whenever you saw Venus at a certain point, they knew that dawn was just about to come. And that's why I called the day star. You saw this. When this showed up in a certain part in the sky, that meant the sun was going to come up soon. And so what that means is you take heed to the Word of God, whatever it is, whether it's healing, prosperity, you keep it before your eyes and as in a dark place until revelation comes into your spirit. That you know. What is that? That's when faith cometh. I can tell you many situations where I was going under. I thought I was going to die, and I just kept heeding until the time came when what was on the paper came to my heart, and I knew that I knew I won. I knew that I knew I was healed. I knew that I knew that I had the need. What happened? Faith came. He said, you take heed to the word until that day star, until that revelation comes. When that revelation comes, that is a precursor to the manifestation. Revelation comes before manifestation. And too many times we're shooting blanks. Bam, by your stripes I'm healed. Bang, bang, it's not working. Bang, praying, oh God, heal, heal, heal. No, have faith. Get in the Word of God. Feed your spirit. Whatever you need, plant seed and watch it grow. Then what you say will come to pass. Then what you pray will come to pass. Let us pray. Father, we're just so grateful and thankful for this morning, for helping us. Helping us, dear Father. Thank you for this precious congregation. And Lord, your word always, always works if we'll work it. And Lord, thank you for these precious, wonderful people. And Father, thank you, Lord, that from this point forward, that they'll be faith giants. They'll grow and feed their faith. They'll not just be hearers. They'll be doers. And Father, that they will obtain what they need to obtain from you through their faith. Real quick, with heads bowed and eyes closed, before I turn to the pastor, I'm a guest here. And again, if you're newer, please come again next week. Hear the pastor. But before I leave, it's so very important. Jesus said, have faith in God, that when we're born again, we all have a measure of faith. God gives us faith to start with, an allowance. But maybe you're here and you're not sure that you have that allowance because you're not sure if you've been born again. Jesus said, you have to be born again. You'll not see the kingdom of God. You know, religion has taught us if you go to church, keep the Ten Commandments, that is what is called the Christian. In America, there's so many that are classed as Christians, but according to the Bible, Jesus said, only people that are born again are Christians. Why do we have to be born again? Because we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. No matter how many good works we do, how many times we go to church, how many good deeds we do, we still have sinned. And nothing can wash away that sin except for Jesus. That's why Jesus is called the Savior. If you don't have the Savior, you're still in your sins, and those sins will take you to hell when you die. And that's why we love Jesus, because He lived a sinless life. He paid the price for our sins. And the Bible says, whoever shall call upon me, He said, I will give him eternal life. So real quick, heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know you, but I want to make sure. Is there anybody here, you've never been born again, and you'd like to be born again this morning? Anybody here? I know it's Sunday morning. You may all know Christians, but we just want to make sure. Anybody, you've never been born again? Is there anybody here that you have been born again, but you're what we call backslidden, or the Bible calls a prodigal son or daughter, that you're out of fellowship with God? You can't have faith being out of fellowship with Him. And I tell you, God wants to do so many things for you, but you have to be walking with Him. And your heart knows. You know, we're not one of us is perfect, but we're being perfected. But we know when we're out of fellowship with God. And there's any of you that, hey, this morning I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Would you raise your hand? I see the hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Again, we're not going to embarrass anybody. This is between you and God. We're family here. We had a hand raised. And, you know, it's just human nature. You know, sometimes we know something in our heart, but our heads, you know, we're thinking, man, what are people going to say? You know, and so forth. But sometimes we feel better knowing that we're not the only one. All of us have been in a time of need like this. And so we had a hand raised. I'm going to look over to the congregation once more. And maybe you're here and says, you know what? I have a spiritual need like that. And I didn't raise my hand the first time, but I'd like to raise it now. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody else? I see that hand. God bless you. Could put it down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Again, we're not going to embarrass anybody. By you raising your hand, you're not joining this church. You're just simply saying, you know, I have a need. God wants to meet that need, but you have to allow Him to come in. Look over the congregation. We had a couple of hands this morning. I see that hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Anybody else? I see that hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Anybody else? Again, we're family here. Whether you need to be born again or you're out of fellowship, you need to rededicate your life. God's going to help you this morning. Anybody else? If you have not raised your hand. We had several hands raised this morning. And whether it's to be born again, asking Jesus in your heart, or you know Him and you're out of fellowship, the answer is the same. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word saved means whatever you need. Whether it's healing, whether it's spiritual, whether it's help. You know, if we call on Him, we're saved. And so we're going to call on Him together. We're a family church, and we love you, and we appreciate you. We're so proud of the spiritual step you're taking. And so we're going to pray together with you. And so I'm going to lead us into a very simple but yet scriptural prayer. And I'm going to invite all of us to pray this prayer. But those of you that raised your hand, or should have raised your hand, you especially pray this. Let your heart agree. Just agree. Say, yep, I want that. That's your heart agreeing. And you'll be saved. You'll be rededicated. You'll have a brand new start here this morning. So let's pray this together. Dear God,
I believe
Jesus Christ
is your Son.
He died for me
and
rose again
from the dead
so I could be saved.
This morning,
I confess
Jesus Christ
as my Lord
and Savior.
Thank you, Father. I'm now your child.
And my life
will never,
ever
be the same again
after this
morning.
In Jesus'
name,
amen.
Hey, we want to congratulate you. If you pray that first time, you are a child of God. You are born again. Your sins are washed away. And you have a brand new start in a great way. God and heaven is rejoicing. And we rejoice with you. If you rededicate it, no matter where you've been, what you've done, from this point on, the mind of God, it is done. And your mind, forget about it. Just keep going forward. I just want to encourage you, keep coming to church. It was in a place like this that your heart was touched. You can't even buy, you cannot buy this at Walmart. You can't buy it fishing, hunting. Only here was your heart touched. Keep on coming. There's a, Satan tries to deceive people thinking that they could be a good Christian without going to church. That's like being a good college student and never attending a class. It is impossible. And getting the Bible, every time you feed on a scripture, what you need, very, very simple. And pray. Talk to God. He wants to hear from you. And come here with Pastor Mike and Courtney. They will help you grow. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the pastors this morning.